Hello and welcome to episode one of the Geoholics, a podcast for geomatics professionals. Thank you for listening. If you found us via our website, thegeoholics.com, or on iTunes, we appreciate you being here and hope that we provide much enjoyment for the next 30 minutes. Since this is our first episode, I need to take a couple of minutes to say thank you to a few folks. First of all, the Black Moods. They are a local band that calls Phoenix home, and they've given us permission to use their music for our podcast. So I guess we can say they're our podcast band. Not a big deal. But they're a local band, as I mentioned. They're made up of Josh Kennedy. He's the singer, lead singer, and guitar. And one thing I'll say about Josh is if you look up Rockstar Stud in the dictionary, there's a picture of Jumpin' Josh there. The guy is the epitome of a rock star. We've also got Jordan Hoffman on bass and vocals. Jordan's kind of the quiet guy of the bunch. He just wears a super cool hat and absolutely jams on the bass. The guy's unbelievable. But if Jordan is ever listening to this, of the three, he's the only one that has not accepted my friend request on Facebook.
Uh-oh.
So Jordan, if you're listening, I swear, I may be a fanboy, but I'm not a stalker. And finally, of course, we have Chico Diaz on drums. And Chico, I mean, this guy's the man. Everybody loves Chico, and for good reason. The way I could describe Chico, and this may show my age just a little bit, but if you ever watch The Muppets and you remember the character Animal on The Muppets, that's Chico. But not only are these guys, you know, fantastic musicians, but they're even better people, and that's hard to find in the music industry. So again, we look forward to continuing to promote them and share their music with you. And please do yourself a favor and check them out on Spotify and iTunes and YouTube. It'll be worth your while. In addition to that, I'd like to thank Social Hall. Social Hall is providing the space for us and hosting our podcast. So we have the Social Hall recording studio, I suppose. But they've been really, really good to us. Mike Kenny is the owner of Social Hall, and executive chef Jason Diaz. He's been cranking out amazing food all over the valley for a number of years, and he's taken it up a notch there. And in fact, they just released a new menu. So if you're a foodie type person and just appreciate good food in general, I would highly recommend going by and checking them out. They're located in the old Minder Binders, for those of you from Arizona, and that would be in the northeast corner of University and McClintock. So thank you to those guys as well. That being said, before we get into the meat and potatoes of this thing, I'd like to do a couple introductions of the boys here. Of course, my name is Kent Groh. I'm the host of The Geoholics. And you can also go to our website, again, thegeoholics.com, and go to the bio page, and you can learn a little bit about the rest of the fellows. Behind the glass over there, making us sound better than we humanly should, is producer Jake. Good to see you, buddy.
Good to see you, too. Good to be back.
Yep. How you been?
Doing well, yeah. Getting ready to start my senior year over at ASU, so last year coming up, so getting ready for that.
Congrats on that.
Thank you.
So Jake is blessed in a number of ways. First of all, he dates my youngest daughter. Shameless plug.
Yeah.
And if you read his bio, he also owns property on Mars, if you can believe that.
Yeah, so in my powder bathroom, just hanging up there above the toilet, I've got the deed to my property on Mars. So whenever people come over, they always go in there to use the bathroom, come out, and they ask me about that. So it's a fun conversation piece.
It's hilarious. The funny thing is, in your lifetime, there might actually be a return on investment of that.
Yeah,
you
vacation
never
home, a good
exactly.
Vacation home.
Yep, so fantastic. Our regular co-host is Ryan Kelly. Unfortunately, he's out with a lower body injury today, so we had to make a call up. And I think we found somebody that can step in. This guy's no slouch. We have Mike Banta with us this morning. Mike, good to see you, buddy.
Well, thanks for having me here, Kent. I'm looking forward to it.
You got a face for radio, my friend.
I'm not so sure I appreciate that comment, but that's okay.
Mike, one thing about Mike, he's been surveying so long that he and our guest today may have actually crossed paths.
We've come close a couple of times. Yes.
Oh, that's great.
And if I might add, Jake, I have property on the moon.
There you go.
Yep.
Jeez, I'm missing out on this apparently.
Got to invest now.
Late to the game. I got to call my my financial advisor on this. So that being said, again, thank you guys for being here. A couple housekeeping items. Like I mentioned earlier, the podcast is available on the website, which is thegeoholics.com, and on iTunes. And we've already got some downloads, is my understanding. We did a demo, of course, a few weeks ago that got posted, and just word of mouth. Got some play time, I suppose. Jake tracks all that stuff. He's a smart guy of the bunch. But let's move into our guest for our very first podcast. And what I can confidently say about our first guest is that we outkicked our coverage on this one. I don't know that we could have set the bar any higher. I feel sorry for the
follow-ups.
The follow-ups and what they're going to have to do to live up to this. But he really doesn't need much of an introduction, but I am going to take just a minute and kind of run down some facts. Because I think it's very interesting. So our guest today was actually born February 12th, 1809 in Sinking Spring Farm, Kentucky. He was essentially self-educated with less than 12 months of formal education, which is absolutely amazing. He worked as a farmer, a carpenter, a lawyer, and of course a land surveyor, and that was in Sangamon County, Illinois. He married Mary Todd, and they had four sons. He was a member of the Illinois House of Representatives. Most impressively, well, maybe not, but he was elected as the 16th president of the United States of America in 1860, serving one full term in 1 month and 11 days of his second term before that fateful day that I don't want to really mention. He's considered to be one of the most popular presidents in history, and among his greatest achievements are ending the Civil War, abolishing slavery, and developing the economy of the USA. He is, of course, one of three former presidents and land surveyors on Mount Rushmore. Teddy Roosevelt, from my understanding, he might have had some survey background, but he seems to always be the odd man out on that one.
I would say his survey background, Kent, would be in the artillery firing.
Is that what it is?
Azimuth and direction and distance.
Gotcha. Well, there you go. See, that's why we have Mike here for a
little fact check.
A little fact check, exactly. So without further ado... many of you listening may know who our first guest is, but I'd like to welcome President Abraham Lincoln to the show. Thank you for being here, sir.
Thank you for having me. It is my pleasure.
Well, I'm humbled sitting here in your presence, as you are one of my heroes, and we can't thank you enough for taking the time to share some of your wisdom with us. We do have a few questions for you. So you were born in Kentucky and spent time in Indiana and Illinois as a young man. What sticks out to you about your childhood that maybe set you on a path to becoming the 16th president of the United States of America?
I learned in childhood the value of discipline and hard work, physical labor. I also learned from the love of my mother about reading. I learned to have an inner vision of myself that was not affected by my circumstances. I learned from my father, who was uneducated and could neither read nor write, about storytelling as I watched others gather around him and listen to the stories he would regale them with.
Thank you. Appreciate that. So, it is true that you were essentially self-educated, correct?
Correct.
How did you select the books that you read to provide you with so much insight and education?
The books which I read were borrowed. And I would have to go to neighbors' houses and see what they had available. For example, a biography of President Washington, Aesop's Fables, the Bible, of course. I was steeped in the Bible. I read slowly and often aloud to myself and would try to master what I read. And even though I did not read quickly, I could remember what I read.
Okay. So on that same note, we know that you made a decision to read some books on surveying and geodesy, and that those books helped you to understand the basics of land surveying. What led you to that endeavor, and how did you acquire like the equipment and the people to help you along in your land surveying venture?
Well, I had held many jobs, postmaster, storekeeper, rail splitter, which gave me strength. But in 1833, the county surveyor of Sangamon County, Mr. John Calhoun, asked me to be his assistant. I then, as was my habit, borrowed two books, A System of Geometry and Trigonometry, with a treatise on surveying by Abel Flint, published in 1804, and The Theory and Practice of Surveying by Robert Gibson, published in 1814. I began my studies and was assisted by Mentor Graham, and as I finished my studies, I purchased used equipment, a compass, a chain, and a staff.
And the rest is history.
The rest is history.
As they say. So a little bit about your personal life. How did you meet Mary Todd? And was it love at first sight?
I would not characterize it as love at first sight. I met Mary at a dance, and it was reported that she said of me that I wanted to dance with her in the worst way, and I did. We did hit it off somewhat, and we wrote each other, and as was the custom at the time, we did not really see much of each other and went on about our ways and then reunited later and married.
And had four sons, correct?
We had four sons, one of whom died at childbirth. And of course, it is well known that our little Willie died when I was in the White House as president in 1862.
Your career of serving the country is obviously well documented. With all that you were able to accomplish, it obviously didn't come without paying a price. You're the definition of persistence and resilience, which is probably what I respect most about you. That being said, if you go back and change one decision that you made besides going to Ford's Theater that night, what would it be?
I think that if I could change one thing, I would have issued the Emancipation Proclamation earlier than I did, knowing now that my effort to save the Union and making concessions with regard to slavery, allowing and permitting it to remain in the South where I thought it would surely die out. But when the war came, and looking back, that is the one thing I would change. I would have issued the Emancipation Proclamation much earlier, perhaps even at the beginning of my presidency.
Let's talk present day a little bit. If you were, in fact, alive today, would you be part of the modern Republican or Democratic Party, do you think?
Well, as you know, I switched from Whig to Republican. And the Republicans in my time were known as radicals and rather liberal. And parties change over the course of time. If I were a member of a party today, it would be the Democratic Party and their progressive ideas. I was considered a progressive of my time, wanting infrastructure, railroads built across the country. And it was my thought, as I expressed, that the purpose of government was to lift man up, to help them strive and be all that they could be.
That's very good. Having lived the life that you did and with all that you experienced, if you could give President Trump one word or one sentence of advice, what might that be?
I would advise Mr. Trump that one of the true characteristics of courage is compassion, and one of the true characteristics of strength is kindness. You may recall that in my second inaugural, I closed with these words, with malice toward none, with charity for all, with firmness in the right as God gives us to see the right. Let us strive on to finish the work we are in, to bind up the nation's wounds, to care for him who has borne the battle, and for his widow and his orphan, to do all that may achieve and cherish a just and lasting peace among ourselves and with all nations.
That's powerful right there. Thank you for that. I appreciate that. I'm doing all the talking here. Mike, do you have any questions for Mr. Lincoln?
Actually, I do not have a question, but I have a profound statement. I've had the pleasure of meeting previous presidents who actually were surveyors, and share the faces of Mount Rushmore with you, President Washington, President Jefferson. And I would only like to ask you, if you had the ability to go back in time to have met with them at the beginning of the Declaration of Independence, what would you have interjected in those words today?
I feel that the Declaration of Independence needs no further words, that it informed our Constitution. The address that I gave at Gettysburg and the dedication of the cemetery gave my ideas on the construction and meaning of our Constitution. And going back, I would have made clear in the Constitution that slavery would not be permitted. I would have made clear in the Constitution that all men and women, what of whatever race or color or religion, would have the right to vote.
That's very profound, sir. I know how much Jefferson probably struggled in the last wording of to include slavery and not slavery, and they were used the words all men are created as equal. I have been watching documentaries on it before, just how much he struggled with that one phrase. And it was almost to me the tipping point of whether or not it was going to get passed or not by all those men who signed it there in 1776. So thank you for your insight on that.
Thank you, sir.
So Mike mentioned being on Mount Rushmore. Are you pleased with the way they depicted you on Mount Rushmore?
Well, you know, I considered myself rather homely, and I did state that God must have loved homely men. Otherwise, he would not have made so many of them. And I also remarked once that given the problems I had with saying no, that I was grateful that God did not make me a woman.
I think we all are.
Just think you could have broken that barrier being the first woman president in those days.
Oh, that's funny. So that's all the questions actually, I do have one more. This is a really funny question that we ask all of our guests, or I should say we're going to ask all of our guests. If, and this will make sense further on down the road when we get into future podcasts, but if you were forced to eat one of the following three sandwiches for the rest of your life, which one would it be? Grilled cheese, Sloppy Joe, or peanut butter and jelly?
Well, sir, since I do not know what Sloppy Joe means, I would pick the grilled cheese.
Fair enough. Well, that's all we had. Do you have anything you'd like to add?
I would like to thank you for having me today and for being able to express some of the things that I believed in that guided me in my years of presidency and that I wish we could filter in to the leadership in our country today. And that, as I have remarked, as I surreptitiously come back to earth from time to time, that I would like to bring people together, even in the midst of failed leadership, that people can join together in civil conversation and reach agreements to do great things.
Thank you for those words. That's great. So obviously, Our guest today is also known as Glenn Gilcrease, and he's a local attorney here in Phoenix. He, of course, is a Abraham Lincoln historian, and I know you can't see him, but he fits the part. He's 6'4". He does he does presentations. You do motivational speaking and that type thing for businesses and schools. And you have a website, and that website is www.abelincolnspeaks.com. And if anybody in the Arizona area is interested in reaching out to Mr. Lincoln here, I'm sure he'd be happy to talk with you about any future, any presentations or anything like that. So again, sir, we appreciate you being here.
Thank you.
And like I said, that sets the bar pretty high for future guests. On that note, our episode 2 will be released very soon after this one. Our guest in episode 2 is a local surveying legend, Tim Evans. We'll see about that, right? I gotta pump him up after this. Yeah. So, on that note, this is the end of our first podcast. I appreciate everybody being here. Mike, thank you so much for filling in for Mr. Kelly.
Thank you, Ken, for having me here. And Mr. Lincoln, it was a great honor to meet you, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks again to the Black Moods and Social Hall, of course. And until next time, folks, if you see something, say something, and stay safe.